Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thus saved from the radiation of the Brahmastra, Kunti, the chaste devotee of the Lord, and her five sons and Draupadi addressed Lord Krishna as he started for home. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Kunti is described herein as sati, or chaste, due to her unalloyed devotion to Lord Krishna. Her mind will now be expressed in the following prayers for Lord Krishna. A chaste devotee of the Lord does not look to others, namely any other living being or demigod, even for deliverance from danger. That was all along the characteristic of the old family of the Pandavas. They knew nothing except Krishna, and therefore the Lord was always ready to help them in all respects and in all circumstances. That is the transcendental nature of the Lord. He reciprocates the dependence of the devotee. One should not, therefore, look for help from imperfect living beings or demigods, but one should look for all help from Lord Krishna, who is competent to save his devotees. Such a chaste devotee also never asks the Lord for help, but the Lord, out of his own accord, is always anxious to render it. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militanjena Tasmei Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Darati Svaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsta Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sachivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sayatam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamsta Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Aripriye Vanchakalpatrubhistra Kripa Sindhu Vyavicha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shrivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So dear Vaishnavas, I beg for your mercy this morning. I feel like a big hollow in my stomach. But somehow, due to the mercy, blessings of Srila Prabhupada, Guru Parampara, I can say a few things from whatever little I know. So this is amazing text, verse. Prabhupada used the word chaste 3 times in this verse. And we're just going to go back a little bit. Yesterday's class was amazing. If you looked at the purport, and Srila Prabhupada gives in a nutshell the description of Krishna. Amazing. He's unrivaled. There's nothing can... no one, no demigod, no living entity, anyone can compare with his inconceivable potency in every way. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead after all. So we'll just start from text 1.8.13, I think it is, where the Pandavas, they went through so many difficulties. So many that Bhima was given a poison cake, he was pushed into a river, tied up. But obviously there's another world deep down within the river, and the residents of this river, they were very attracted by Bhima, so they gave him more strength. So for 8 days he was there, and the Pandavas were anxious looking for him. But somehow he was saved from that. Then the Pandavas were put in the house of lac, where it would burn very easily. And Duryodhana wanted them to be burnt alive. But somehow Krishna was always at their side, protecting them step by step. And they got saved from that. And they went, they were exiled to the forest for 14 years. They came in front of like cannibals, all sorts of difficulties. But because they surrendered to Krishna, constantly depending on Krishna for in every step, then they were protected all the time. So this time, when Krishna, when all the rituals for Bhishma was performed, and at the end of the war, Kurukshetra war, we talk about post-war syndrome. This was happening at that time. After the war, Yudhisthira, Arjuna, they were devastated. 64 million people were killed in that war. Right? 64 million. 640 million people. Unbelievable. So, yeah, and who wouldn't lament? All family members, teachers, you know, exalted personalities were killed in this battle. But Krishna pacified everyone, and he got on his chariot just about to leave. And there, another catastrophe. Hutara comes running, crying to Krishna in deep prayers, "Please help me. There's another Brahmastra coming straight to destroy the baby in my womb." And who was none other than Parikshit Maharaj. So he was meant to be the emperor, the last of the Pandavas. So she was praying to Krishna in beautiful words, "Please help me." You know, she was completely surrendered to Krishna. And she said to Krishna, "Other than you, I haven't got anyone else. You're the only one that can help me in this situation." So just like this, Devaki as well, when Krishna appeared in front, she had this beautiful prayers glorifying Krishna, beautiful descriptions. There is a contradiction there. Krishna appeared in his four-armed form, and she says to Krishna, she knows, Devaki knew full well that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She worshipped Krishna's Vasudev with awe and reverence. But still, when he came in his four-armed form as a baby, she said to him, "Please go back to your normal baby-like form, because Kamsa will kill you." It's Krishna. So there is like a contradiction. He's the Supreme. She knew he's the Supreme Lord, but still in her mind, she's thinking Kamsa is going to kill Krishna because, you know, he's in that form whereby Kamsa is looking to kill. So also Draupadi, that's a very amazing story where Draupadi, you know, in the beginning, there wasn't full surrender, of course, but then she realized she was helpless. She was brought in front of an assembly of people, a chaste lady, very chaste lady. But Duryodhan plotted with Shakuni and Karna to play a game of dice with Yudhisthira. But Yudhisthira was a very good devotee, but he wasn't a very good gambler. So Duryodhan was like, he knew this. So with the game of dice, he lost his brothers. He lost his himself. And he kind of lost his wife. Then she asked a very philosophical question in front. She said, "If my husband lost his brothers and he lost himself, on what grounds can I be lost? Because he's not there, how can I be lost?" This is in Vijay, the Sankirtan minister. He gave a class on this and he did well research. So I read his, I listened to his class. So, but Duryodhan said, "Dushyant, just go and, you know, bring her out and disrobe her." So everyone was there in this assembly, and Draupadi was looking up to her husband for protection. So for a woman, for a chaste woman, her husband is everything. She looks up to her husband in, you know, in times of need, difficulties, whatever. She's totally surrendered to her husband. So in her young days, she's protected by her father. Then she's protected by her husband. And then she's protected by her oldest son when the husband takes vanaprastha or leaves home. So at all times, the woman is protected. They say fairer sex, weaker sex, less intelligence, all these things, but I read in one of the purports, in the same chapter, Prabhupada says that this does not refer to Vaishnavas, to devotees. This is more to conditioned living entities. But because we're so conditioned in the material world that we identify ourselves with the soul as male, female, you know, black, white, American, Indian. Prabhupada gives so many classes on this. As long as you see these designations, then you have to identify yourself as this body. And as long as there's dualities, then there's bound to be suffering. There's no question. You have to suffer when there's duality. Matras passes to Kuntiya. Sitosna Sukha Dukkha Bhagavad Gita. Can't remember the verse. But happiness and distress, they like winter and summer seasons. They're temporary. They come and go all the time. But one with knowledge, he can see that, you know, this material world is temporary. It's the kaliyam. You know, every step is danger. So the chastity of a woman is very, very vitally important. If a woman is not protected, this is in Bhagavad Gita 140, this is one of the arguments Arjuna used. He said, if I'm going to kill my family members, how is the woman going to be protected? If there's no one to protect the woman, then there'll be unwanted progeny. And when there's unwanted progeny, there's war, pestilence, and there's no peace. So this was one of his arguments. And a woman, when she's chaste, she is very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. I was reading the Ramayana, and I was looking for, because it's said that Sita is actually personification of chastity. So I wanted to look at her story. But then I came across another story, which was brilliant. It was so in tune with this, what we're reading now, these verses. And then it was there that Lord Ram actually used a Brahmastra to kill Ravana. That was very interesting. And it was there that Lord Ram, he was so absorbed in saving Sita, his Ekapatni. It's called Ekapatni, one man, one woman. So he was so into protecting his wife, and he was absorbed in killing Ravana for his atrocities. So he actually got into the wrong chariot. Lord Ram got into the wrong, and this was Indra's chariot. And Indra's chariot driver was Mitali. So while he was sitting there, then he realized, this is Indra's chariot. So he said to Mitali, oh, I'm so sorry. He apologized. Lord Ram, the Supreme Lord, is apologizing to Mitali, saying that I'm not your master. You shouldn't take instruction from me. Because he asked Mitali to speed towards Ravana, because he wanted to kill Ravana. So you shouldn't take instruction from me. And Mitali was like overwhelmed by Lord Ram's humility. So he did drive the chariot towards Ram. So you can see how the Supreme Lord, when he performs his pastimes in the material world, it's to perfection. If he performs a pastime as a human being, appears like a human being, he plays that part perfectly. Lord Ram, he played the perfect part of husband that protects his wife, and a husband that wants to kill the perpetrator, like that. There's five kinds of perpetrator that you can kill. So there's the what was the first one? One who sets fire to a house, one who gives poison, one who what's the others? Help me. Abducts a wife, usurps someone's property. I said that. Yeah, but it appears that Duryodhana was guilty of all these things, right? In terms of Draupadi, in terms of the house of luck, in terms of the poison cake, he qualified for all these atrocities. So, lost my train of thought. Where was I when Lord Ram on the chariot? So, Mitali went towards. So the fight was on between Ravana and Lord Ram. The story is so beautiful. Absolutely. This fight was so amazing. It went on and on and on. And Lord Ram pretended to be an ordinary fighter. It's amazing. Fought for hours. And then the opposite parties, the warriors, the fighters, they were so absorbed in this fighting. They were so, overwhelmed and dazzled by everything. They stopped fighting. Everyone stopped. And it explains there in the story that they looked like a painting. They're always standing still and looking at the fight. So the fight went on, and Mitali says to Lord Ram, "How is it possible you're playing the defensive, you're defending yourself like an ordinary man when you have the Brahmastra weapon that was given to you by Agastya Muni?" So the Supreme Lord Ram, he says, "Oh yes, I have that. Why should he be like that? How can the Supreme Lord not remember he's got a Brahmastra weapon?" So you can see by the stories, by how you read, that the Supreme Lord, he plays his part for the pleasure of his devotees. And he has to get someone so powerful that he can fight or enjoy the rasa of fighting. He doesn't want to get a weakling, someone that he can kill. He needs to get someone so powerful that the fighting can go on for days. Even Jarasandha, he fought for so many days. So like this, his fighting goes on. And then he said, yes, the Brahmastra. So he took the Brahmastra and one time just, let go of the Brahmastra. And Ravana was killed there and there. And all the others were killed. And then Lord Ram said to Vibhishan, okay, now you have to perform the funeral rites. And he said, no, I'm not going to perform the funeral rites. He's committed so much atrocities against you. I'm not doing it. But Lord Ram said, you have to do it. You have to perform this funeral rites. He was a hero, no doubt. So you can see Krishna, the Supreme Lord Ram, very, very merciful. He doesn't see enemies and friends, no matter how Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, no matter how much they tried in different ways to fight him, to kill him, but still at the end they got killed and they got liberation. This is all this is Leela pastimes with the Supreme Lord, but this is all to teach us how we can mold our life, listen, read these pastimes, absorb them, purify ourselves, and get out of this place, because this is not for a place. Prabhupada say this is not play for a place for a gentleman. Said Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Yeah. So somehow we have to work our way out. Even the Rakshasa wives of Ravana, they were giving him advice. Don't do this. you know. And they were very surrendered to Ravana because they were holding Sita's prisoner. And also, his favorite wife was Mandodari. Mandodari said to him, very nice, giving him nice advice. She said, you can have any woman you like. Which wife can say that to the husband? You can have any woman you like, but just please leave this one. Because if you take this one, it's going to be bring doom to your life. She told him, but he didn't listen. Sometimes husbands, they're very difficult. I've had experience. I'm married now for like over 30 years, and I've had very, very good experience. Sometimes you give them good advice, and it's very difficult because the ego comes in the way. So it's very, very difficult for them to take advice. So here you can see Mandodari. She's giving him good advice. Don't go there. Go to, there's so many women. He had so many women in his life. You know, he had his favorite wife and he had others there and he wanted Sita. But for him, he was cursed that he couldn't, if he liked someone, it couldn't be like a one-sided affair with, you know, with someone that he liked apart from his wife. And it had to be a two-way thing, but because Sita was so chaste to Ram, she was surrendered to Ram, she didn't give in to him, and he was so angry, he actually said he will have her for his dinner if she didn't reciprocate. And so Mandodari gave him advice. So this is how it is. Sometimes a chaste woman would give advice, and it's not taken, and then there's problems, difficulties. And in this day in life, how often would you find a chaste woman? It's very, very difficult. It's more they being chased than chaste. This is how it is. In the material world, women are used as a tool for, advertisement to make money. They're used in the consumerism market these days. You know, you find for cars and for computers, for any type of business. And it's explained that a woman is very, she's as a devotee, she's called Devi. Devi Dasi. Devi Dasi means a representative, a servant of the goddess of fortune. And if you don't take care of a woman properly, as Prabhupada says in these pages, that a man's life will be shortened, decreased, if he mishandles or doesn't give protection to a woman. And Prabhupada explains in this same chapter in the purport, he says, some of the men that died on the battlefield, their lives were short-lived because they touched the hair of Draupadi, he says. So it's very, very, because a woman should be protected, she's the weakest, all these things is said in the Vedic literature about a woman, then it's very important that she is protected from the opposite sex. As soon as she's not protected, then she falls prey to be victimized. I was just watching a documentary the other day about Sudan. Such a sorry state of affairs. There's two different parts of Sudan. They're fighting with each other. And the fight that the soldiers there are like between the ages and 14 and 18. Very young soldiers. And what they're doing, in the middle of the fighting, they're going into homes and taking between the 14 and 18-year-old girls, young girls, and raping them, left, right, and center, no discrimination. Four times, one girl, maybe 12, 13, young girl, four or five times raping her, the one girl. As a result of this, over the years, I mean, this is going on all the time, they actually have a sanctuary in Sudan, where they have all the ladies that have been raped over the years with the babies, who they don't know who the father is, and they in the sanctuary with the babies. It is so sad. So we should be thankful we in a situation where, you know, we're safe, we under Krishna's protection and guidance. But when you look at other places, there's so much suffering, so much pain, and you're helpless. You can't do anything. What can you do? The government, if the leaders, yad yad acharita shrestas, when the leaders are polluted, when the leaders are not following, then everyone underneath have to suffer. I know for a fact, because they say third time lucky. I've been to like 3 spiritual masters, so. But they say you have to move forward. We don't worry about the past. Bhaktivedanta Thakur says the past is history. You don't worry about the past. You don't worry about the future. Worry about now. What are we doing now? Are we Krishna conscious? Are we reading? Are we associating with devotees? Are we taking this Prabhupada's message seriously? What are we doing? We got all the transcendental literature, yeah? We got Srila Prabhupada coming. We got Lord Chaitanya only 500 years ago. And he's opened the doors of love. He said, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to give up anything. Just add the chanting of the holy names to your life and automatically everything will fall away. Krishna says to Uddhava Gita, Krishna says to Uddhava in Uddhava Gita that as long as you think of yourself as the soul, then you won't be hurt. You won't go through pain and suffering because we understand from Bhagavad Gita, the soul cannot be burnt, it cannot be cut up, it cannot be moistened. The soul is pure. So as long as we identify with this material body, then we have to undergo the 3 miseries, the 4, you know, misery, birth, death, old age, and disease. And we have to go through the, you know, be faced with the 3 modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. But to come to the understanding of Krishna consciousness and become self-realized, then we have to at least come to the mode of goodness to get knowledge and understanding of who we are. Let me see what I must. I was amazed. I was listening to Jaya Advaita Maharaj's class. He's very brave because he got all the answers to everyone's question. He finished his class in 15 minutes. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So I thought, if I finish my class in 15 minutes, I'm going to be bombarded and I can't give any reference. So I'd rather stick to mine the way I do. I wanted to read the meaning of chaste because there's so much emphasis on there. I looked up at the meaning for chaste in the Longman's Dictionary, and it said, chastity means the abstinence from unlawful, immoral mingling with the opposite sex, pure in thought and acts, modest, simple, austere. And some of the names connected to chastity, looked up was like Sita, Draupadi, Queen Kunti, Devahuti, you know, all these people. But we can understand, we can think of ourselves as not being the body and being oblivious to all these things. But at the same time, Prabhupada says that self-realization does not mean that you are oblivious to family, friends, children. There is affection there. It's not like, you know, I'm not the body, you're a soul, you're a spiritual soul, you shouldn't be suffering like that. But as long as we're in the material world, we're conscious. There is affection, there is love, you know, all these things go hand in hand. But at the same time, deep within ourselves, we know all these things are temporary. Because what we understand, the family members, friends, others may not understand. So we have to speak palatable words and be kind and gentle and, you know, develop the 26 qualities of a devotee. Even if not all 26 qualities, at least we should come, you know, close to that mark. Let's just go through a little thing about in the Srimad Bhagavatam 185, where Prabhupada gives a special emphasis to the protection of the Brahmins. He says the Brahmins maintain the Vana and the Ashram for spiritual culture. So it's very important that the Brahmins are protected. And the cows give us miracle food for finer brain tissue and for understanding the higher aims of life. So the cows must always be protected. And woman, of course, she gives off good progeny if she's protected and she's chaste, and she brings about peace and progress in life if there's children that are born following Garbhadhan Samskara, all the samskaras. And then the children has to be protected as well. Children, to give them a chance to get out of the material bondage. So they should start very early in life, especially parents should give them this understanding. But in these days, it's very, very difficult, even when you give your children Krishna consciousness from an early age. I mean, I tried my best. I did what I can. Since they came up to the age of 12, I brought them to the morning program, sent them to Gurukul. But at the most crucial age, when they turned 13, which was like a teenager, and at that time we didn't have a secondary school, and they had to go to outside school. So they had to play catch up with the commies, you know, the materialists. They felt very lost in that kind of world, because being brought up in the Gurukul and then to go to outside school, it was very difficult. My children, for 2 years, they were lost, you know, looking, where am I? Until they kind of adapted themselves to the lifestyle of the materialists, you know, the schools outside, then they were accepted. So it was very, very difficult. Even when they came from school, you give, and then in later years, they try to make up for lost time, what they missed as being a devotee, what they missed outside. Is very, very difficult for a parent to see that their child as a teenager or as a grown-up slowly kind of, you know, widening their gap from the Krishna consciousness to, you know, material life, widening their gap. It's very painful. But somehow, we can't be disturbed by things. We are not the controllers of any situation. Everyone comes with their own package. Everyone comes, no matter it's your own child, your own husband, your own father, your own mother. Each individual comes with their own package. You may think, or we may think, we did everything we can. Where did we go wrong? One time I asked Chaitanya Chandra, this devotee from Orissa, I asked him, I said, Maharaj, where did I go wrong? I tried my best to give my children what they want. I mean, not like they're non-devotees, but they know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but at the same time, a mother always feels a child can do more, chanting, hearing, reading. You know, that's on the back burner for now. So I asked him, where have I gone wrong? What am I doing? You know, I have three children. Why have they gone three different ways? So, well, one daughter is teaching in the Gurukul. She's okay. So he said to me, how much tolerance do you have? How much patience do you have? He was asking me all these questions. True, because we think we are the controllers of our children. But actually, no, we're not the controllers of any situation. As soon as we think we're the controllers, then we put into test upon test until we realize. Krishna will give us those tests over and over and over again until we learn the hard way that this is, you are not the controller of any situation. So we need to let go. Some point in our life, we need to let go. We are caretakers. We are caretakers, our family members, our husband, our children. We do everything for them. We surrender to them. We give them what they want, you know, like that. But deep down, you know that these are all, you know, on the bodily designation, that it's going to come to an end. It's temporary. Deep within, you have to understand this is what the science of self-realization means. No matter what difficulties I had the other class, the more difficult your situation is, the more you cannot handle a situation, the more challenging a problem is in your life, that's how much Krishna actually loves you and cares for you. He wants to speed your journey back home, back to Godhead. And actually, I was thinking, the suffering we're having in this material world is nothing, nothing compared to Prahlad Maharaj and so many other devotees that passed the test, you know, of undergoing so many difficulties. And here we have little problems, you know, children not following Krishna conscious or husband doing something a little wrong. And, you know, whatever the case may be, oh, it's a mountain. Daivi Isha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya. Krishna says, this is his divine energy. It's very, very difficult to conquer. But one who takes shelter of him can cross beyond it. It's like a hoof sprint, you know, filled with water. You can cross over. But if you don't take shelter of Krishna, then it becomes a mountain. Very, very difficult. So we have to let go. I'll give 5 minutes if we have any questions.